for a foolish one of Rami Tag David Ben Rivka Shprinsa. Parzosa Bracha. So we have the following over here. Perek Lama Gimel Pasuk Aleph says, Zosa Bracha Shabrach Moshe Yishalukim is Bnei Yisrael with Mimoso. Here's the Bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yishalukim, the man of God, gave to Bnei Yisrael before his death. The question we're going to ask today, and the question that we're really going to deal with more than anything else, is why is he called an Yishalukim? What does that mean, a man of God? Why is he called a man of God? So the Rishonim, and pretty much all of them, we're talking about the Ibn Ezra, the Rush, the Pneach Raza, the Ramban and his Derech HaMez, the Daz HaKin, as well as many Achronim like the Netziv, they all say that this is to tell the reader, tell you, that his brachas were given through prophecy. This was not Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking through him. A true Nevuah that came out through Moshe Rabbeinu, through what he was saying as a bracha itself. And he was a man who did everything God told him to do. He was an Ish of Elohim in that way, doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Similar to this is the Rabbeinu Bechaya. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says that Moshe Rabbeinu could be called this name since he was such a great Navi. Even in his first vision, he saw God. Not a Malach, not anything else, but through the Sneh, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no one like Moshe Rabbeinu. All of the Rishonim are really along the same lines of saying Ish Elokim means he was a man who spoke to God, who dealt with God in every which way. The Megali Amuko says that the Malach that is in charge of giving over these brachos in Chodesh Adar, and remember, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away in Zion on Zion Adar. His name is Akastri. We don't say the full name, but Aleph Chaf Saf Resh Yud Aleph, and then Lamed at the very end. Akastri and Kil. This is the Malach that was giving the brachos over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, I know there's a big machlokes about this, and people go crazy about whether or not you're allowed to say that Malachim are giving brachos. Can you daven to a Malach? Are you allowed to ask a Malach to do something for you? Some type of messenger service. I realize that that's a big issue. Regardless, this is hinted to by this phrase of Ish Elokim. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was somehow so close to God that he was able to manipulate brachos to happen, he was able to make brachos happen even though it wasn't normal, even though people normally can't do such a thing, he was able to do such a thing. He is the man of God who spoke the words that the Malach HaKasri gave over to him through a nevuah, through some type of idea that was able to go over to Bnei Yisrael. The Rav Hirsch says the reminder of just how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. Then Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly what Hashem told him to do. And I know there are people that even say that Sefer Devarim is really Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it himself, that Moshe Rabbeinu was so involved. And the truth is, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in a way, this was a nevuah through the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. But even so, says Rav Hirsch, this was might not have been a nevuah direct. It was at least Ruach HaKodesh, where there was at least an indirect connection to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, which the Ramban says which the Rav Hirsch says that Moshe Rabbeinu had constantly. That's the idea behind it. Now the Ramban gives another answer. That was the Ramban in his Derech HaEmes. The second shot of the Ramban is that it's to tell you the opposite, that this is Moshe Rabbeinu, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not through nevuah, not through Ruach HaKodesh, not being given through there, and it was accepted because he was a man of God and Hashem fulfills the will of Tzadikim. So to speak, the Me'amboi says that everyone knew since he was that man of God that everything he would say would be accepted, that it was always going to be known because of how great he was. The Me'ashiloch says that by saying that he became even more perfect on the last day of his life, by us saying that type of idea, when he was told to give this bracha over to Bnei Yisrael, he made Bnei Yisrael stronger. His nevuah was so great on the last day of his life. He became so much greater on that last day, that became so much more effective. He became the Ish Elokim only because it was the last day of his life, and because it was the last day that he knew about. That's the idea the Me'ashi Loach goes through. The Or HaChaim takes it to a different level, though. He says, you may have heard Ish Noami, the man of Naomi. Does anybody know who the Ish Noami was? Who was the husband of Naomi? It's coming up Shavuos time.
Yeah.
The husband of Naomi was Elimelech. You think about Rus. Yeah. Naomi and Boaz were related, or Boaz and Elimelech were related to one another. But Ish Naomi, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Ish Naomi means the man who is in charge of Naomi. That's the way that it was phrased. Telling Naomi what to do. And although we definitely understand that women have their own minds, etc., a husband, so to speak, is the Adon that allows for him to say something and his wife listens. Now, I realize that that's a lot for a lot of people, and I'm not going to go into that phrase, but that's the phraseology of Ish Naomi. There's another phrase called Ishua Dama. Noach is called the Ishua Dama, the man of the ground. He ruled over the ground. He was the master of the ground and everything in it. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he was the master, so to speak, of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Ishua Elokim. He became the Ish Elokim, because whatever he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekayim. Hashem, Moshe was Gozer, a Tzaddik is Gozer, and Hashem is Mekayim, and that's how strong Moshe Rabbeinu was. The idea behind this, and the idea of what we're trying to say over here, is that his brachos should be taken very seriously. This is not just an old man getting up at the end of his life, getting up and saying something, and saying, here's what I want to say. The last words that a person says is an unbelievable amount of power, and that's what it's referring to when it says Ish Elokim, or Ish Na'ami, or even Ish Adama. The concept is that you're the master of what's going on over there. The Medrash Tanchuma says that the same way that a husband is able to take away the Nedarim, the vows of his wife, he could be made for Nedarim in that way. He was able to destroy any edicts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. If Hashem made anything like that, he was able to get rid of that, and he was able to do something by giving excuses and understanding where B'nai Yisrael was coming from. He ruled over Hashem, it's so to speak. He was the one who made sure, and he did so with pure humility. That's the idea of what an Ish Elokim is, says this idea from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and from the Medrash Tanchuma itself. He's made for the Nedarim of Hashem. He could make HaKadosh Baruch Hu do things. That's the concept of Ish Elokim. So we have two very different shots. We have number one, that he's an Ish Elokim, as in a man who spoke to God, and through his Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, he was able to say things that nobody else would know. And therefore, we have this one thing. And the second thing is, he was such a great tzaddik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to everything he said. He made a statement, and Hashem fulfilled it the way that you would if you were the master, a slave to a master. That's, so to speak, Kaviyahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mastery. And that's the idea of the Ish. That Tzrura Mor, which is a famous Sefer written about 300 years ago, writes that he took on the Midah of Hashem of Over Al Pesha. That he became the master of himself. When B'nai Yisrael caused him to lose out on going to Eretz Yisrael, he says, "Vayisaber Hashem b'ilamanchem, because of you, B'nai Yisrael, I wasn't able to go to Eretz Yisrael." And he blamed them. Nonetheless, he still gave them brachos. He still gave them everything they needed. He still davened for them. His tefilos never stopped, even though he knew that they were to blame for all the bad things that were happening to him, for everything that was going on with him. Says the Tzvar Mor, he is a man like God. Just like God is over Al Pesha, he was over Al Pesha. He was the one who was El Rakum Akanam, so to speak, to the people, and therefore he acted the way God acts toward the people, thus calling him the Ish Elokim. The Or HaChaim says it's maybe even the biggest bracha. Maybe the biggest bracha, or a tzaddikim, I'm sorry, not the Or HaChaim, but the Or HaTzaddikim says, maybe the biggest bracha you could give is to say just this. You should try to be an Ish Elokim. You should try to do that before your death. You should all try to do tshuva before you die, to be like that, to think of who you're going to. And that's the idea behind it. The Tam Bedas, Rav Sternbuch, says the greatest praise that a person can be called is Ish Elokim. In fact, the Sifri says there were 10 people throughout history that were called Ish Elokim. Just 10. And I know that sounds crazy because you probably have never heard the phrase Ish Elokim used before in your life. But Ish Elokim is used in Navi all the time. The difference is that by everybody else, Ish Elokim is the name that's used by someone else to describe the Navi. Elisha is known as an Ish Elokim. Eliyahu Navi is known as an Ish Elokim. I have the list all the way toward the end. Elkanah, Shmuel HaNavi, David HaMelech, Shmaya, Ido HaNavi, and Micha and Amos were all called Ish Elokims, but they were called Ish Elokims by people, or the Nevi'im writing the Sefer. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was told by God that he was an Ish Elokim. He's the difference. That's different by him than it is by anybody else. And says the Tam Vadas, what this means is that the Shechina is resting upon you. It's the greatest praise that you can give. You can call somebody a tzaddik. You can call somebody a chassid. But to call somebody an Ish Elokim means that God is constantly resting upon you. The Shechina is on you at all times. There's no greater praise that a person can give when it comes to that. The Tfar Shlomo says it could be because Moshe Rabbeinu never really died. He's still Omed Umishamish B'marom. The Gemara in Sotah Daf Yud Gimel says, since he's always available to help B'nai Yisrael, he's willing to daven at any point. He's known as an Ish Elokim because he's pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on their behalf. That's the idea behind it. And Mayana Shel Torah asked this question. It's a sefer, it's a Likud sefer of a bunch of different things. He asks why it's only now. Ish Elokim is mentioned at Moshe Rabbeinu's death, but not before him. For 39 years, really for 119 years, he's not known as an Ish Elokim, but all of a sudden it happens toward the end of his life. And the answer is, simply put, people want to know what kind of character traits Moshe Rabbeinu had that allowed him to become the person that he became. Who is this guy? Why is he so special? Why does he get to be the leader of Klal Yisrael brought the Sefer Torah, etc. What's so special about him that other people didn't have? Says the Mayan Shel Torah, what's so great about him? And his answer is simply put, because everything he did was for God. He was an Ish Elokim, a man who only thought about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he only lived to serve God. And when a person has that, that's what makes him so great in that way. Reb Chaim Paltiel says a very, very similar line, so is the Me'ash Yuach, but we're going to skip that for right now. So now we'll go into, why is he called an Ish Elokim, as opposed to an Ish Yudke Vavke? Meaning, where's the name Ish Elokim? Elokim, as we all know, is Midas Adin. Yudke Vavke is Midas Arachim and Midas Achased. So why are we calling him an Ish Elokim, a man of judgment, seemingly of strict judgment we're calling Moshe Rabbeinu, when really he's the man of Rachamim? He's a person of Chesed, a person who does only Chesed for Klal Yisrael and davens for them. What is this phrase of Ish Elokim as opposed to Ish Hashem? So the line is like this. The first way that we're going to answer it is from the Ramban itself. The Ramban says, if you're wise, you'll know the answer to this question. The problem is, no one is wise, and no one has any idea what the Ramban is talking about. That's your first problem. The Rabbeinu Bechaya tries to explain it, but I'm not even so sure I understand the explanation of what he's talking about. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is known as Eved Hashem in Sefer Yoshua. Eved Yudke Vavke. He's known as an Ish Elokim now. What's the difference between those two phrases? He says, he serves the Hashem of Rachamim, but he follows through on everything that Midas Adin tells him to do. See, there's one thing to be a person who's an Eved Hashem. I will follow you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rachamim, no matter what it is. But what if it's too difficult for you to do? What if I can't handle it? What if I can't do the pure Midas Adin that you're asking me to do? Maybe that's too much for me. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't care. I'm an Eved Hashem. I'm willing to follow anywhere the easy stuff. But not only that, I'm willing to do the hard stuff as well. I'm willing to be an Ish Elokim. He could serve and do pure judgment in that way. That's the idea that the Rabbeinu Bechaya says is what the Ramban means. He's an Ish Elokim here, not Hashem, because he's willing to do even the hard stuff. He's not just going to give in. That's the concept behind it. Arachon Yud Zayin and Aleph says that the Avos would not, were the only people who were treated with pure Midas Adin. If we were treated with pure Midas Adin, we wouldn't be able to stand. As we all know, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Hashem originally wanted to create the world with Midas Adin in Elokim. And he couldn't. He saw the Midas Arachim had to be added on. Moshe, the idea behind this is just this. We said, I don't even know, 100 times over the last 40 days before Yom Kippur, Al Tavol the Mishpat Esavdecha. Don't allow your servant to have Mishpat. Mishpat is in this Midas Adin. Don't allow your servant to be able to deal with such things. Ki lo yitzak lefenecha kofoy. Because nobody would be able to survive if you were treating them with pure Midas Mishpat. You couldn't do it. Midas Adin is too strong. It's super strong. We wouldn't be able to survive that way. Says the Or HaChaim, and really based on this idea, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was so good, and he had done so many great things, he and he alone could be judged with pure Midas Adin the way the Avos were treated. He could be done with Midas Adin, and that's why one thing he did, he spoke, instead of speaking to the rock, he hits the rock, and all of a sudden he loses Eretz Yisrael. A man like Moshe Rabbeinu can get that Midas Adin. Nobody else, nobody can get that Midas of Mishpat like him, but he would be able to survive the judgment that's sent against him. He was an Ish who could survive Elohim's pure judgment against them, a mishpat that was going up against them. Another hint that can come from this is that Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness did not stem from birth. This is a great Or HaChaim HaKadosh. It's something that people have to think about. People are born tremendous. There are people that are born very kind. There are people that are born very generous. There are people that are born with the midos to be able to act in the proper way. Moshe Rabbeinu says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, his greatness did not stem from birth, he says. Even though there was an Or that came out from his crib when he was first born, the Or that came through. Chazal tell us that that Or came because of what was going to be, but not from what he was at birth. Not the same way, at least according to this Maimar Chazal. One might think that he was so perfect, but it's not. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he worked on his Yiras Hashem constantly, and maybe that's because he was constantly working with Bnei Yisrael. Always involved with them, always seeing what they were doing, and maybe that's what made him so great, understanding what Bnei Yisrael had to be, working to be that man of God throughout his entire life. Now, there's a famous Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael wrote a Perusha Mishnayos. At the end of Kiddushin, in the last Mishnah in Kiddushin, there's the famous Tiferes Yisrael where he brings down a Medrash. And I'm going to tell you the Medrash as is. The question is what to do with it. But this is what the Medrash says. Medrash says that there was a king who wanted to know what the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was. How great was he, and why did he become so great? What was it that his special midah that he was excellent at? So he had these people that were able to read foreheads, or perhaps he himself was able to read foreheads, was able to tell what every single person did and how they did it. He was able to tell, like, just looking at the person. So what did he do? He hired a painter, and he told the painter to go to Klal Yisrael when they were in the Midbar in the Anani HaKavod, and he would see Moshe Rabbeinu. How he was able to see it through the Anani HaKavod, I don't know. But he looked through the Anani HaKavod, saw Moshe Rabbeinu, painted a picture of what Moshe Rabbeinu looked like, and brought the picture back to this king. The king either showed it to his experts, or he himself was the expert, and he looked at it and he said, this guy, he's a murderer, he's a thief, he's an adulterer, he's got the worst midos in the world, he's a kasson, a ragzon, a person who just has terrible, terrible midos. That's what this person is like. Looking at his forehead, they were able to see how terrible of a person this person was. Said the king, it doesn't stem. We know about Moshe Rabbeinu that he's such a great guy, everybody says the greatest things about him. How in the world could he be this person that I'm seeing such evil in? It can't be. There's no way it could be. So he turned to the painter and said, you painted the wrong picture. You painted the wrong guy. The guy said, I swear to you, I painted the right guy. I made a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. I swear to you, I did it. He went to the other guys, the experts. The experts said, we're telling you, we know our chokmah. We're telling you, this is what the guy is all about. This is what we see. This is what it's all about. The king didn't know what to do. So he decided he was going to go to Moshe Rabbeinu himself. He goes to the Anani HaKavod and he sees Moshe Rabbeinu and he looks. Again, I don't know. He was supposed to be Karno or Punav. Nobody saw Moshe Rabbeinu because he had a mask on. I don't know what shot is. I don't have an answer to that. But regardless, he went and he saw Moshe Rabbeinu and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, it must be that I'm wrong. I learned this Chokhmas Apartsuf when I was a kid and I've known it, or my experts have known it for years, and yet I know that your face is telling me that you're a terrible person, but I've heard such great things about you. I see that the painter really painted you well. I don't know what to think. I must be wrong. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. That is what I was. I was a person with terrible midos, and I worked on myself, and I became the person that I am. I did not start off this way. I worked on myself to become the person that I became. It took years of constant work to be there. That's what the Tzfaris Nishol says. Now, the Shita Mikubetzes, this is Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi, the Rebbe of Darizel, brings this Medrash, Maisa, the story, we'll call it, at the end of the third parak of Nidarim. But here's the thing. He doesn't mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name. He says, Chacham Echad. There was a Chacham who was painted, and it was said to whatever, but he doesn't say the words Moshe Rabbeinu. He does not say that it happened by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Now, in some Sfarim, I'll tell you, this story is quoted to be about Aristotle. Now, not about Moshe Rabbeinu. Which comes to show you, this is probably not a Medrash. Especially if there's Machlokas, if it's Moshe Rabbeinu or Aristotle, the likelihood is that it's not a real Medrash. The Degel Machne Ephraim, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, quoted his grandfather that the Baal Shem Tov held that this story is about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Degel Machne Ephraim brings it down about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's also quoted by the Kedushas Levi in Parshas Truma, and the Yismach Moshe in Parshas Korach. Three Hasidish Svarim. It's brought in the Sefer Ol Pnei Moshe, which is before the time of the Tzfaris Yisrael, which is accepted by almost everybody. The Sefer Siduro Shel Shabbos, again a Hasidish Sefer, says from the Arizal that Moshe Rabbeinu had sparks of Hevel and Korach that were bad within him, and that he had a little bit of Ra within him, and he was able to bring them out and make them even greater. However, there was a big to-do around the turn of the 20th century, in the early 1900s, when the Mariel Diskin came out together with Rav Chaim Yitzchak Aron of Vilkomir, and they were a huge kol kore, and they put the Tiferes Yisrael, they said, we want to take the Tiferes Yisrael out of the Mishnayis, because the story is not true, and it's ridiculous to say, and they thought that Tiferes Yisrael made it up on his own. But it's funny, because all the Hasidim had accepted it. So the Misnagdim didn't accept the story, but the Hasidim accepted it. Now, I heard that the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a whole piece on this in his Sichos. I tried finding it. I don't have it down over here. It's on I have the copy of it in Yiddish, but I couldn't read it. It's on page 253 in the Sichos, Tuf Shin Mem Tes. So I don't know what he says. I'm not sure if he means it to be as a remez or whatever it is, but there was somewhat of, I don't even want to say a rejection, but something where he explains it's not necessarily a bad story. It's, this is what the Baal Shem Tov meant. So I don't know how to deal with that. Either way, regardless, then that's just something to learn from, whether it's true or it's not true about Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea is that people are born great, some people are not. Some people have to build up their greatness. And it doesn't happen all at once. It takes a while to get to that line, to be able to bring yourself to that point. Okay, I'm going to end with one little piece brought down by the Medrash Rabbah. It says, there's a Medrash that says about Moshe Rabbeinu, based on this pasuk, Ishu Elokim, Mechetzio Ulamata Ish. Halfway down, he was a man. Mechetzio Ulamala Elokim. Halfway, the other half, he was a god. That's an extremely strange line by the Medrash. It reminds you of a line that's brought down in the Gemara, where one of the philosophers says that halfway down in the body is Hormiz, and halfway up the body is Ahormiz, right? Where there's two different gods that they used to worship, in which bottom half belonged to Hormiz, and the top half belonged to Ahormiz. And Rabbi Yoshua said to him, if Ahormiz owns the other half of the body, if Ahormiz, the spiritual god, owns that half of the body, why does he allow food to go through his spiritual body to go down to the physical body? Why would that be allowed? It's a weird Gemara, and it takes a lot. There's a Maharal on it, which is amazing, and it's brought down, and if everybody's seen the book, what's that book? Juggler and the King. Thank you. The Juggler and the King. Beautiful book, and it has this down in there to try to explain that idea. But this line from the Medrash Rabbah seems the same way. What does that mean? Halfway up, he's God. Halfway down, he's considered a human being. How could that refer to anything? What does that mean exactly? So it's obvious. If the Pusik wanted to say that he was a man, half God, right, and really wanted to say it that way, he wouldn't call him an Ish Elokim. He'd be called an Ish Elokim or Ha-Ish Ha-Elokim. Ish ha-elokim, when the wording in the phraseology is that way, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, it's telling you there's something to darshan and take out of it. And what it means is the following, that Moshe Rabbeinu was so special that he was able to suppress his gashmias, pull down his gashmias, his physicality, and bring up his ruchnias. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu survived 40 days and 40 nights without eating, without drinking. And not only that, he did it three times, 120 days with a break in between, two breaks in between, spending it, doing all these great things. The fact that he was able to do such a thing shows that he was not a normal human being. This was not a regular human being who was able to do such a thing. Here's the concept. Moshe was so spiritual that calling him an Ish seems to be an insult. You have an Ish which is special, which normal people to be called an Ish. For me to be called an Ish would be unbelievable, just to be called an Ish. For Moshe, you know, this wasn't special. He was already an Ish. Calling him an Ish was an insult. He was almost like, and I'm going to be careful with how I say this, Ho Elohim. He was almost like a Malach, because the word Elohim also connotes a judge, a Malach, not a God, uppercase G with a little dash, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. When we call him Ish Ho Elohim, it really shouldn't be Ish Elohim, it should be Ish Ho Elohim, according to this Medrash. He was a man who was angelic in his different nature. Now halachically, when you're writing the Sefer Torah, this shame of Elohim Kim has to be written with Kedusha. This shame has to be written the same way you would write Yud Kevavki. It's got to be written with Kedusha. It's not Elohim as in a judge, or Elohim as in a Malach, or Elohim as in Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom. It's not that way. It's written as Elohim, as if it's referring to Hashem. But the Medrash is darshaning and saying, here's what it means. He was a man who was so close to being a Malach, as close as you could get, one of the greatest beings out there. That's the message of the Medrash. Down here, he's still healed. He's still human, even though he seemed to everyone that he was a Malach. I want you to imagine, there's a man like Moshe Rabbeinu who's walking around with his face shining like a bright light. He has to cover it with a mask. Whenever he spoke Divrei Torah, his lisp couldn't be heard. His lisp, where he couldn't say a bez vav mem or pei, nonetheless could never be heard. He was a person who was able to talk to people and he silenced everyone. He comes down from Arsina when everybody's reveling and the eagle is up and he's able to stop everyone. That's how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. To them, he was almost godly, goddess, so to speak. And that's the concept that the Medrash Rabbah is getting to. It's not about
God. He was angelic. He seemed like an angel to everyone, an Ish Elokim in that way, and that's the concept of what happened from over here. There's a tremendous Yal Gruvini, but it's not for now, as well as the Bala Turim on the bottom, but we'll end with this for right now. Shkarek everybody for coming. That the basic idea of what we said was why he was called an Ish Elokim. We got through the Rishonim. We spoke out the Ramban's answer. Both were a little bit different from one another. Ramban's first shot and his second shot. We got into the Or HaChaim, the Medrash Torah that explained that. The Talmud asked about the praises that it could be said over here. The Ramban, why is Ish Elokim instead of Ish Hashem, and then it starts to Saul, and finally it's Saba Kabbalah that explains that Medrash. Shkarek everybody. If everybody can just help bring everything in.